praise God. I want to get in this message because we got a lot of ground to cover today. We got a journey that I believe I'm going to take you on a journey this morning, and we're going to come to a place that we have to get to a place to say, whatever season I'm in, I have to give thanks. No matter what season I'm in, whether it's the best season, because sometimes I believe it, man, when you're in the best season and everything is going so great, sometimes you forget that you have to say thank you to God. Sometimes we take things for granted when everything's going so good. But then there's the mediocre season where we're just kind of lukewarm a little bit, and that's a tough season. And then there's the difficult seasons, whether it's loneliness, depression, whether it's some different events that have rearranged our life for whatever reason. And in those deep moments, man, it's come to a place to say, God, how is it that I can come to this place to say thank you? Man, I've had a difficult week with this because it's like, God, how am I supposed to communicate in a sense of giving thanks to you when there's so many people that I love that are going through such a difficult time, and we're just supposed to stand up here and smile and say, man, folks, we're called to give thanks, when I know that so much of the situation of so many people in our community who are so broken and so hurting. And yet this is Thanksgiving week, and as a church, we're called to give thanks. So I went on a little journey biblically to see, really, God, what does it take? What does it take to dig deep in you, in any season of life, to be able to really, from not a surface level thank you, but from the heart of my heart, from the depths of who I am, to be able to raise my hand in any season to say, you are God, and I will thank you. For some of us, that's not difficult. For others, this morning, it's extremely difficult. But man, by the end of today, I believe that there's moments that we have with God that when we really see it according to the Word of God and people of God, we come to a place to say, man, I'm going to dig deep and in my sense of knowing Him. That is my biggest desire, is to know Him. And in that, I will use worship as a weapon. I will use my thanksgiving and my praise to go forward and to be first in who I am, to charge forward and cut anything that's in front of me that's going to get in my way between me and God. When you understand our time of praise and the word praise, it actually means to say thank you. Worship is a position that we express adoration to God. It's a position that we express reverence to the God Almighty, the one true living God, the one who has created the heavens and the earth, the one who would send His Son to die on a cross, that you and I would have life, that we would be able to know God. And that, in that sense of worship, it's a sense just to position ourselves in a place to honor and to adore Him. And we do that in any circumstance in life. We come to a place to say, God, I want to know You, and I want to praise You, and I want to worship You, and I'm going to use my worship as a weapon, and I'm going to worship through my worry, and I'm going to praise through my problem. And in that, God, I always, always, as a child who knows You, have something to dig deep and to say thank You. Man, this is the journey today, so let's just prepare ourselves for this and just ask God to move in this place again through His word. Father, we know that Your word is alive and powerful. God, even Paul wrote it, that the gospel didn't come to us in word only, but in power through the Holy Spirit and great conviction and assurance that it's true, God, it's right. And God, that we would dig into this thing today as a church. God, we dig into this thing as a community today. God, I thank You for Your word. It is powerful. God, I thank You for Your Spirit who reigns within us. Teach us this morning. Show us Your word today, that we walk out challenged. We walk out changed. We walk out in hope today. We walk out able to give thanks to You today in this season. And we thank You. We thank You for Your loving kindness. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You that we are justified and we are called in reconciliation to You through the cross and through the blood. We thank You for forgiveness of sins. We owe You everything, God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As you know, God's team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, plays the absolute worst team in the history of football today. And if they lose to the Browns, I will shave my head, okay? Is that a deal? That's funny right there. That's good. Amen. But we are this week and next week, we're going to talk about giving thanks. I think it's an absolute integral piece and part of who we are as individuals in God in our lives. It should be happening every single day. Like, honestly, church, when's the last time, honestly, not because it's the season of Thanksgiving, but when is the last time that you honestly, no matter what season of life we're in, we are in this amazing place. And I'm not just on Sundays, because what we do in praise and worship, it is a sense of giving thanks. But I'm talking about your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday. When's the last time you were on your face before the Lord in just an amazement of giving thanks to Him as God, as Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, as the Spirit who reigns within us to get us through every single day, that you come to a place to say, God, I just want to say thank you, and that I love you, and that I'm amazed by you, and just to come to this place to give thanks. It should be a daily, daily, daily activity for us who know God, who are in that deep fellowship, not the surface level thanks, but the deep rooted hearted thank you to God Almighty, because we know God and who He is and what He's done for us. So we look at this, and if you could turn, actually you can turn to one place this morning, 2 Chronicles 20, and then I will get there in a minute. We're going to take a journey first, and I'm just going to do some reading, and then I want to read from Colossians first. This was what was on my heart, and I just want to share this with you. This is Paul writing to the church of Colossae in chapter 1, verse 9. It says, that you may have the knowledge of His will, to know Him, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the Word of God, going deep with Him, knowing God. And it says this, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patiently, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Why would we need a steadfast and patient? Because listen, there are times that we go through some difficult seasons in life. There's times that we go through seasons where we're just asking God, God, where are you in this? There's moments that we are called to be steadfast. That means without moving, be firm, patient, waiting on God. Trusting God, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Gang, we always, always, always in our moments that we are being steadfast, in the moments that we are waiting on God to move because we've asked Him to move, in those moments, if it's not in our great timing that we think we have the best timing, God, why is your timing different from my timing? In these moments, we are called to be steadfast, firm, not moved. We're called to be patient, and we're called to joyously give thanks to the Father. He's allowed us to be transferred out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of His beloved Son. How beautiful is that? We always, always have something to be thankful for when there's this key issue of what it is to know God. I mean, to know God, to go deep with God, deep rooted in your spirit, that understanding and that knowledge of who God is in every season of our life. When you're at the top of your game, when you're at the bottom of the ocean, no matter what season of life we're in, we come to this place and say, God, I want to know you. And when I press into that, my understanding of who you are, God, we can get through anything. We can get through anything. You will make a way when there seems to be no way. What a beautiful song. You will make a way when there seems to be no way. And in that, you'll place joy in me. And in that, I'm going to walk in peace, and that'll be my guard. As we talked about last week, that was a powerful message last week. If you missed that, go online and catch it. It's talking about a supernatural peace and a supernatural joy that is not just surface level, but it's deep. Come on, I want to go over several stories with you, please. They're all going to be on the screen. I'm going to read them here. Exodus says this. This is Moses, all right? And he's speaking here, and I want you to see this. This is a conversation that he's having with God. Verse 11, it says that Moses is face-to-face with God, and then you come to a place in verse 13, he says this. Now, therefore, you can see it right up on the screen. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, that you, this is God, let me know your ways that I may know you. This is what Moses says, that I may know you. So that, now look at this, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people, and that he, this is this is God speaking to Moses. Then God said, my presence shall go with you, and it will give you rest. This is God saying, Moses, my presence is going to go with you, and it will give you rest. And I love Moses' answer here. Look at the verse 15. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. He says, if your presence isn't going, I'm not going. Why? Because he says, listen, that I may know you. I want to know your ways and I want to know you. Listen, this is Moses, folks. He's a bigwig of the Old Testament. This is Moses. This is the one who split the Red Sea, right? This is the one that went toe-to-toe with Pharaoh. The biggest, meanest, baddest king in that time, he went toe-to-toe and said, listen, I'm a prophet of God. I know that I was in your house and now I'm kind of against you. And God says, let my people go. Toe-to-toe with Pharaoh. Then all these plagues come. Moses calls the sun to not shine for 3 days. He darkens out the sun for 3 days. This is a big wig on Moses, man. He's a big deal. I mean, his staff was eating other staffs. I mean, he's just like, this is after all of that. Could you imagine walking in Moses' shoes and seeing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and then your staff eats another staff, and then you're blacking out the sun and all of these plagues, and you step into the Red Sea, and it just splits, and you're just like, wow. And then after all of that, he comes to a statement to say, I want to know you. You'd think after all that, he'd have that depth of who God was. You'd think the high notes of his life, those high places of his life, he comes to a point to say, your presence is so vital to me. My understanding of who you are, I want to know you. And if you're not in it, I'm not in it. If you're not going before us, I'm not going. He had this is after all the miracles. This is after all of his time with God. He just simply rebounds to this place to say, God, I just want to know you. Do we have that longing, you and I? I mean, do we have that depth? Or do we just go from miracle to miracle? Or are we just asking God from miracle to miracle? And when it doesn't come, does that weaken our understanding and that knowledge? Does it weaken that desire, that thirst? Like, God, it is my only desire is to know you. God, it is my desire to be in your presence, God. And if you're not in it, I'm okay with not being in it. If you're not going, we're not going. Because God told him, listen, in my presence, you'll have rest. So Moses said, listen, if your presence isn't going, I'm staying where the rest is. I'm in your presence. If it's not there, I'm not going there. It's amazing to me that this is after all of the miracles, he still has a desire just to know him. To know him. Come on, look at Psalms 42. It'll be up on the screen. This is amazing. I love this because this is from an anonymous writer. Sometimes we just feel like we're anonymous at times, don't we? Sometimes we just feel like, man, does anyone even know my name? Does anyone know my circumstance? Does anyone even really care where I'm at? And this is an anonymous writer from Psalms in Psalm 42. It's a very well-known Psalms. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul, this is the individual who's broken and hurting. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul, look at this, pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I pant for you. I thirst for you. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears, have you ever been here? My tears have been my food day and night. You talk about one who is just in a place of hurt. My tears have been my food. I can't eat. Difficult for me to sleep. My tears have been my food day and night. Seriously, have you ever been in a position where you're in a place where you're like, God, what's it take to get before you? That's what he asks. Verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? What's it take? God, my soul is panting for you. God, man, my soul thirsts for you. I want to know you. I want to go deep with you, God. What's it take to get before you? Because God, it's my tears. I'm in a position that day and night I eat my tears. And he says this, while they say to me all the day long, my tears say to me all day, where is your God? So where in all this can we come to a place to be able to worship through this, to come to a place to be able to say thank you through all of this, where there's moments in our lives, and again, there's so many of us that really are in such a great place, and we're saying, God, you are moving, and we see you moving, and we're thankful for our homes. We thank you for our marriages. We thank you for our kids. We thank you for our jobs, and we're in this season that, man, things are just, we're just cooking right now. Things are good. But that's a dangerous season when you don't understand all things came from him, and you come to a place, don't forget it came from him. Don't forget your wife, your husband came from him. Don't forget you're in that place of always being a place of being thankful, because you have this desire to go deeper with God. Just because things are going great doesn't mean we go less in our time with the Word. We go less in our time on our face. We go less in our time on our knees. We have that desire to thirst for him, to long for him, to know him. And then there are those who come to this place and say, man, my tears have been my food day and night. I feel like this anonymous writer, and they say to me all day long, where is your God? Where is your God? It's nice to know in these moments that we're not the only ones who've ever felt that way. And I love the Psalms because they're so authentic and they're so sincere. And these are poems and these are songs that they wrote to God. So they're saying, God, where are you? My tears cry out and I'm asking you, God, where are you in this? I mean, they're just real with God. That's what the Psalms are. It's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with being real with God. There's nothing wrong with crying out your hurt and your pain to God. Look at Psalm 63. I love this psalm. It'll be up on the screen. Psalm 63 says this. This is David, and I love this. You hear this all the time because it's David. He's writing this from a cave. And he says this, oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you. I shall seek you. I will pursue you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Here it is. Look at this now. But thus I have found you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory because of your loving kindness is better than life. Gang, where does he put his attention? Where does he put his attention on this? Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. He comes to a place to be thankful. In the midst of hiding in a cave from Saul, King Saul is chasing him down with the greatest army on the planet in this moment. And here you've got one man hiding in a cave with a bunch of misfits. And he comes to this place to say, to see your power and your glory because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. I will give thanks to you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praise. Here it is again. Thankfulness, a celebration, a hallelujah praise with joyful lips. In the midst of hiding in a cave, he can come to a place to be joyful. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help and the shadow of your wings. I love this when he says, listen, there's no better place to be when my back is against the wall, then so close to you that I have to be in the shadow of you. You can't be in the shadow of somebody if you're distant from that person, folks. He says, listen, I know what it is to be close to you. I know what it is to be in the shadow of your wings. For what? Look at this. And sing for joy. My soul, the depth of who I am, clings to you, or it follows hard after you. Gang, what is our pursuit? In the midst of what it takes to say thank you, in the midst of what it really looks like to give thanks and to give praise, where is our pursuit? In this Thanksgiving season, man, I'm trying to go into a place to say, God, no matter what season anyone is in, I want them to understand what it is to have this depth of relationship with you. That they always have a reason to praise you. Because of your power or your glory, because of remembering what you have done, remembering, God, you do have a plan for me. God, you do have a purpose for me. Maybe I don't see it right now. Maybe I'm lonely right now. Maybe I'm hurting right now. Maybe I'm broken right now. But God, you've got a purpose for me. And in that, and even me being reminded of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you and I want to bless you and I will lift my hands in your name. He's hiding in a cave on the run and he has the ability to raise his hands in great freedom to be able to acknowledge and worship God, to bless the Lord and to say thank you. I love this. You have another place in Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk is a minor prophet. He had one word from the Lord, and he says this, and this is chapter 3, verse 17.
Though the fig tree should not blossom, there is no fruit on the vines, it yields no olive should fail, and the fields produce no food. Though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there is no cattle in the stalls. That's a bad season. That's a bad season. Yet, I love it. Yet, I will exalt the Lord. I will lift up. Exalt means to lift up. I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and He makes me walk on high places. I mean, when we understand that God, even in the midst of hurt and pain, even in the midst where I feel like I have no food, even in the midst where there isn't any produce, God, even in the midst where I continue to sow and I just can't get to reap, even in the midst of that, because I know You, because I am deep with You, it's not a surface level relationship, because I'm intimate with You, because I want to dive into Your Word and study Your Word and know You, God, in that, I still am able to be exalted in You. I'm still able to be able to rejoice in You. I'm still able to worship You and praise You in the midst of it all. Where are we in this? Do we have this relationship with God? Do we understand the depth of really what it is to know Him, to have that desire to know Him? We see it again in Philippians 3. This is Paul. He's been through so much. We're going to get to 2 Chronicles here in a minute, and this is just real simple. Paul says this in verse 8, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Everything else is secondary. For their surpassing value, the highest value, is to know Christ Jesus my Lord, to know Him. I put that as the absolute highest value of who I am, is to know Christ Jesus as Lord. Now let's get to our passage, where we're going to actually preach from, because we are got some short time here. 2 Chronicles, please. Man, because there's just a sense of what it takes to really completely walk in victory season after season after season, in the highs and in the lows, and what it looks like to really walk in victory, to really what it looks like to say, God, I am so committed to You. I am so in this relationship. I know that You are my Father. I know that You have adopted me. I know, again, God, that You have this plan for me. God, I know You. I know who You are. I know that You will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that Your plan is best for me. I know that when I wait on You, You'll move in Your perfect timing. I know, God, that You are never late. And I know, God, that faith can't fail. I know that You will never fail me in my faith. God, I trust You in this. To walk in that in the highest seasons and the best seasons of life, and to walk in that when things just really look dark. And here we pick it up in 2 Chronicles. This is an amazing story. You've got you have Jehoshaphat, and here he is, the leader of Israel, and he comes to a point where you've got three major armies that are closing in on him. And the Bible says this, I love this, in verse 3, he says this, Jehoshaphat was afraid. Sometimes we live in fairyland and say, well, I'm never afraid of anything. I can tell you that there's amazing people with great faith that become afraid because of a report or because of a loss of job and they've got a family to feed, or because that's not lacking in trust, that's just an emotion. And here Jehoshaphat has this emotion and he was afraid. He's crying out to God, going, "What? I get this report that these three major armies, a great multitude, the Bible says, is closing in on me, and I'm afraid." I love this. Verse 3 says this, Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord. In that moment of being afraid, it's not like it takes over your emotions and then you're just paralyzed and then you can't do anything. That's not what happens here. Yes, he admits, I'm afraid. I see this great multitude closing in on me and our people of Judah. And what are we supposed to do? And he does something amazing. He turns his attention. And what's it take? In a moment, you can make a decision. In a moment when you're afraid, you can make a decision to either let it captivate you and control you or paralyze you, or you can make a decision in a moment to say, I'm going to turn my attention to You. For when I can't see a way, God, You can make a way. When I just don't see the end in sight, God, You're already there. Gang, that's why seek is so important. That's why seek is so important. It is a statement of faith saying, God, I don't know what's going to happen this month, but You do.
And you're already there. And I trust you for it. And Jehoshaphat is saying, listen, I'm afraid. They're closing in on me and Judea. They're closing in on all of our wives and our children and our infants. They're closing in and I'm afraid. But he does something that we all really need to do. And the lesson is this, to turn our attention to the Lord and to seek him and to pursue him and to go after him. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid and he turned his attention to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, verse 5, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not, I love this, he goes in, are you not the God in the heavens? Are you not the ruler over the kingdoms of the nation? Power and might are in your hand, that no one can stand against you. Is he reminding God who God is? Does God need a reminder? Oh, I forgot. Thank you, Jehoshaphat. Now I can move. Jehoshaphat is crying this out in front of all of Judea, in front of everybody, to remind them he is the God of power and might. He is the one who created the heavens. When you see the stars, that's God's work. It's God's work of a reminder of his power and his might. You're the God in the heavens. You're the God who has moved. You're the God of power and might so that no one can stand against you. And he goes into this whole thing of reminding of who God is. In verse 12, he says this, O God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before them. For this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we want to do, but our eyes are on you. I mean, honestly, he's just saying, listen, we are powerless against them. We know that they're a great multitude. We know that they're more powerful than us. We know that they will come in and they will just run us over. We don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance. We are powerless before them. They're coming. I mean, they know they're coming. Nor do we know what to do. I love this. Because so many times we come to a place that we just hit a wall, man. Whatever it is in life, there's times we just hit a wall. And you just say, I don't know what to do. And this is where they're at. We're about to get run over. They're going to take us out because we're powerless against them. We can put our best force against them and we lose. And we don't know what to do. I love this. And then God, by the Spirit of the Lord, through prophecy, speaks to another man. And God gives him a word. And God says this in verse 15, do not fear or be dismayed. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. God's saying, listen, it's my business. This now becomes my problem. God says, this now becomes my battle. Isn't it amazing that they pressed in to know God and God shows up? Isn't it amazing that they went way past a surface level and they got real with God and say, I am powerless in this and I don't know what to do. And God gives them a word. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. For the battle is not yours, but mine. I got this. And I love this. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up to the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You know what this means to me? What is God? God is telling them, he knows the enemy's plan. This is where they're going to be. This is how they're going to attack. Isn't it amazing? If we would just listen to God, if we would understand that depth of relationship to really be in a relationship to listen, God knows who the enemy can attack. He knows everything, about everyone, about every moment, about every second. He's God, all-knowing. He knows everything. And he knows where the enemy is going to attack, and he gives them the enemy's game plan.
How awesome is that? It's like having the playbook. God says, this is it. This is where the enemy's coming. Verse 17, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourself, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear. I love it. He says it twice. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out and face him.
There's so much in this. He doesn't say turn and burn. He doesn't say run away. He says stand firm. Trust me. Go out, stand before him and face him. Like that. Come on. He tells them, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I've got this. I'm going to fight for you. But I don't know if it's a test to see where they're at now. To really say, do you really trust me? Because I need you to go and I need you to stand right before him. Like that's, God's telling them, go just, if I don't show up and you're standing in front of them, they're just going to slaughter you. I need you to go face your enemy. How is it that you come to a place to say thank you? When God calls you to go face to face with the enemy, to go face to face with your loneliness, to go face to face with your circumstance, even to go face to face with your success. God says, listen, I need you to face your problem. I need you to face your problem. For the Lord is with you. That's what he says. Now get this, please. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. Listen, worship is a position of reverence and honor. That's what worship is. They had this amazing word from God. Listen, I've got this. I've got your back in this. This battle's not yours. It's mine. But you have to face the problem. You have to trust me. You have to trust. I know that you're afraid. I know that you're outnumbered. I know that you feel like running. Man, when they got that word to say, God, I am, God says, I am with you in this. They fell on their face to show a reverence and a worship. That's what worship here means. They worship. They position themselves in a place of reverence and honor. And the Levites, these were the worship leaders. This is our team right here, the Levites. These were the priests who led the whole nation in worship. They stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a very loud voice. This word praise is the word hallelujah. How is it they came to a place to celebrate before the victory? They came to a place to begin to praise God with the whole nation, Judea and Jerusalem began to just shout out to God in victory. This was before an even battle began, and they began to shout out in praise, a halal or a hallelujah praise before the Lord. And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And then they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God. I love this. Put your trust in the Lord your God. Put your belief or be firm in your belief. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets to succeed. For when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord. This is the worship team. And those who praised him. This is the yada word praise. That means those who would extend their hands in thanksgiving. Listen, they haven't fought the battle yet. They're already raising their hands. Listen, we have so many new people at the Believer's Chapel. Maybe you're new and you're just like, honestly, what are these people doing? I came from a background that didn't understand this. I came from a background that actually would tell you to put your hands down. When I understood what it was, there's this freedom to say thank you with your hands raised. This is why you see this in this church. It's the word yada throughout all of the Old Testament. And it means to give thanks with hands raised. This is before the battle. They came to a place to yada, praise, to raise their hands. This is crazy what Jehoshaphat does. They praised him in holy attire and they went out before the army and said, give thanks again, give thanks. This is the same word, yada. With extended hands, give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness
is everlasting. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Could you imagine? I'm sure. As in a group of all of Judea and all of Jerusalem, I'm sure there was a group that were still shaking at the knees. I'm sure there were some who were saying, you really think it's a good idea to go face to face with this great multitude? And then he does something amazing. He says this, and when they began singing and praising, what did he do? He put the worship team first. Amen. He said, listen, you guys are going to go out and you're going to sing and you're going to worship and you're going to raise your hands, no weapons in your hands, but you're just going to raise them up to the Lord without any weapons, just to say thank you. And the worship team is going first. And we're going to use our worship as a weapon. And we're going to raise our hands in thanksgiving. In any situation, in any circumstance, in any season we're in, we're going to go first in worship. First in praise, first in giving God thanks. Why? Because we have that depth of knowing God. God, I trust you because I know you. I can trust you in my season of thanksgiving. I can trust you. Why? Because I know you. Because I'm way past this surface level relationship. But God, I know you. I'm there. God, I'm intimate with you. I know you and I can trust you in anything in life looks like. God, I go first with my hands raised to give thanks. And then God does something. It's amazing to see God just show up where the multitude came and three armies came and two armies turned against one army for some crazy reason in the midst of the shouts, in the midst of worship, in the midst of praise. You see two armies turn all of a sudden against one army and take out that army. And then these two armies begin to turn on one another and take out each other. And for whatever reason, there was not one man standing. The last one to take the swipe with a sword or with an arrow must have had an arrow or a swipe already in him, because the Bible says they all took out, they were done. It was over. There was zero left. And all they did was just worship. All they did was give thanks. Because God says, I got this. But I need you to face your problem. I need you to face your issue. Do you know me? Come on, bow your heads just for a moment, please. Do you know me? Come on, are you in that level of faith where you can say, God, I understand what it is. I know you, God. I know that you will move. God, I trust you with a trust that can't be shaken. Yes, God, I'm afraid. But God, in this moment, I turn to seek you. God, when it's time to face the battle, I'll face the battle, but yet I'll do it not in weapons that I can create, but God, I'll do it with my hands raised high, with no weapons in my hands, just to say thank you and just to praise you and to give you great thanks, because God, I know you. Because I know you. If you're in this place today and you're just like, I just want you to pray for me. I'm not asking you to come forward. I just say, man, I'm in that place where I just want to be able to have the faith to be able to seek God. Turn my attention. I've turned my attention maybe not to where it needs to be, but I want to know God. I want to know in that depth of Him. I'm in this moment. I'm at that crosshairs. I'm in that place. Where I can go one way or the other. And I want to turn my attention to Him, and I just want to put my hands up, and I just want to say, thank you, God. And I know that you have my back, and I know that you will never leave me nor forsake me. And I know that when I draw near to you, you draw near to me. God, I know that your promise is for me. Please just put your hand up in the air. No hesitation. Put it up right now. Come on. Put it up high. Matter of fact, put up both hands. Both hands. Say, God, I just want to thank you. God, I want to praise you. Right now, God, I want to know you. God.
God, please. Just even in this season of Thanksgiving, God, I know that this is not a bounce up and down message, but God, it's so real. We raise our hands to say thank you, God. Just to say thank you. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. No weapons in our hands, God. We got nothing. But we know you. And you got everything, God. God, without your presence, we don't go. When you move, we move. Our desire is to know you. Our desire is to worship you. Our desire is to go deep in you. Our desire is to thank you because you are God. And we love you. Father, please. God Almighty, please move. Please move on our behalf. In Jesus' name.